Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock on a Saturday, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And today I'm interviewing somebody who a lot of people are talking about in the UK magic community. And the reason is he is the current close-up magician of the year at the prestigious Magic Circle in London, which is an incredibly difficult award to win. And he's done it at a very, very young age. I've seen this gentleman perform. He is absolutely incredible. His magic is amazing. His performance style is so distinctive. And he's living the dream when it comes to being a professional magician. And, you know, his trajectory is just massively up. I can't wait to for you guys to find out more about him. I am, of course, talking about the one and only John Duffett. How are you doing, John? You okay?
Hello, Craig. Thank you for such a fine intro. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Wonderful. And thank you for jumping on the channel. I know I tried to arrange this a while ago. You were jet setting around the world. And we'll get to that a little bit later on, but I really appreciate you spending time with me. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure.
Now, a lot of people in the London area are going to know who you are, but this channel gets viewed by a lot of people all over the world, so some people might not know you. So what I'd like to do before we go any further, before we even get started, I'd like to find out a little bit more about you and your origin stories. I'd like to find out what your specific origin story is. In other words, how did you get into magic? Where did it all begin? Tell me all about kind of your journey into magic.
Absolutely. I think the beginning is quite standard. Well, people of my generation probably saw a lot of it, you know, on sort of TV and the internet and stuff like that. I remember the first show I saw was Tricky TV by Stephen Mulhern, if you remember that yourself. Mm-hmm. And I remember just seeing him, this guy do tricks and all loads of other kids my age doing tricks. But of course, he would teach them as well. Very basic, very rudimentary magic effects. But at about 7 or 8 years old, I was absolutely fascinated by this. I didn't really know much about magic, and the idea that I could do something was just incredible. Not only I could do it, but I could learn a wonderful secret as well. And so every little sort of, you know, trick I saw there, I tried to replicate and do to my friends, got a few magic kits. And but that being said, it wasn't like it wasn't happy ever after. It didn't sort of capture me, and it sort of, you know, I continued doing it for the next 18 years. I sort of, I actually had a very bad commitment to magic. I sort of started and stopped over and over again. So when I first found it, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then I would stop for like a few years. It was just a passing childhood hobby. Then at various points in my teenage years, I go, oh my God, this magic is amazing. Why did I ever quit? I'd do it for a few months or a few years, and I'd stop and I'd start again. And only really about the time of the pandemic that I sort of actually started up again. It was a solid, you know, I sort of took it up when I was 18 years old, stopped doing it throughout university. And then, yeah, when the pandemic began in sort of March 2020, I thought, well, I've got plenty of time on my hands now. Maybe I'll try getting back into magic again. Everyone's picking up these strange hobbies. And I think now revisiting it as an older and more mature man, something about it just struck me. I sort of realized how deep it was. It's not just, you know, tricks you buy at a store in a magic set. There is so much more to this. As a result of that, I think I've not gotten bored of it since. Now it's been about 3.5 years since I've gone back into magic, and well, now it's my full-time career. So I guess it's gone pretty well. But yeah, no, it's I guess sort of, yeah, that's roughly how it happened.
Well, let's delve a little bit deeper into that time frame. So you were, you've always been based in and around the London area, is that right?
Yeah, so, always East London.
So you're in the magic circle, obviously. So my first question is, you got into and out of it and got into it properly when you were kind of back into university. So did you ever go to the Young Magicians Club or the YMC or anything like that? Was that a thing that you ever did, or?
That's a very good question. But no, nothing like that. I think one of the big reasons I sort of drifted in and out of magic especially as a child, is because I didn't do anything sort of outside of just, I didn't do anything outside of me, really. I'd go on the internet, you know, try and find, you know, new tricks. Obviously, I got some of yours when I was younger. And I had so many sort of products. But I didn't really interact with the community. I honestly didn't really know what was there. I mean, to put this into context, I was 26 years old. I am 26 years old. So when I was younger, you know, sort of in the late 2000s and 2010s, getting into magic, I mean, I just didn't really, I heard of the Magic Circle, but I didn't know what the Young Magicians Club was. I didn't know any of these other things. I think if I had joined something like that, then I probably would never have quit magic. I was surrounded by, you know, seeing really great magicians and being around my peers doing magic. I absolutely, you know, would have stuck with it. And now it's being run by the fantastic Harry DeCruz and Ed Hilson. We're doing a fantastic job. I've done a talk there before. And, you know, they're doing an absolutely wonderful job over there. But, you know, if I had that when I was younger, I absolutely would have stuck with it. But no, like for most of my magic, for most of my time in interested in magic, I had no exposure to this outside community. And I've only been a member of the Magic Circle for 2 years now. I joined in October 2021, just after I left university. But before then, I basically never ever spoke to another magician. Maybe I'd go to a magic shop and see some there. But like, I had basically, before October 2021, I had literally no magic friends. I don't think I really ever did a proper jam session. I had no concept of what it was like being part of a magical community. So every time I went there, I was so excited. I got to hang with magicians. It's like the best thing in the world. And I would have been I was like 23, 24 at the time when I joined. But until then, yeah, doing all this magic, but never really speaking to anyone about it. Yeah.
Wow, because that's unusual. So my question for you, based on that, is the first time we met was probably at the convention, the Magic Circle convention, the very first Magic Circle. Or no, it was when I was doing I was performing close up at the Magic Circle, so it was around 2022, and you were performing close up as well, and we're in the changing rooms together, and I'll never forget it because you showed me some incredible card magic that blew me away. And I had just released a product all about memorized decks and mnemonica, and you were showing me stuff with mem decks that was just frying my brain. So my question is, like, that must have been, so you must have only been back into magic about a year or two by then, but you were so technically, like, advanced. Like, I remember coming out of that room going, wow, and you thought you were good, Greg. Like, but not just presentationally, technically, your mastery of the you fooled me with a memorized deck, which I put a project out, for God's sake. So, like, how did you get from coming back into the magic at the beginning of the pandemic to meeting me a year later, like basically looking like the offspring of Darwin Ortiz and Jason LaDani? Like, where did all that come from?
Yeah, you're far too kind, Craig. I'm glad it had that effect on you. But I will say, yeah, I mean, a lot of people have said that, not in a sort of arrogant way, but a lot of people have been surprised by the fact I've only been back into magic for a couple of years when I joined the Magic Circle. You're absolutely right. I think that simple reason was that when I got back in during the pandemic, I had some experience in magic. Wasn't really great. You know, I would buy a few tricks, but I never really performed for people. I sort of, you know, bought tricks or read a few books, but I didn't really have much experience in the world of magic at all, actually, before the pandemic. To answer your question, it's simply the case that when the pandemic began, I got back into magic. I just got into it so heavily. I would get my hands on everything I could find. You know, for example, obviously, but when it came to cards, I'd be practicing with cards every single chance I could get, which was all day because I'm isolated from my friends. And yeah, no, I would just think, well, I'm not spending my money on the usual things a university student spends their money on. So I thought, I will, you know, I'll get magic. You know, I got, you know, a few tricks and gimmicks and getting into it. You know, got, you know, just books and, you know, downloads or DVDs and just try and literally absorb everything. So during that, you know, entire pandemic period, I was just sort of fast-tracking everything. As I said, I didn't know many people. I didn't know, you know, what was going on in the wider community, but I thought, I hadn't even gone to a convention even as an adult, but I thought I would just absorb it all, take in everything I get all the sort of strange methods, common methods, and just try to exercise my mind, try and think outside the box, watch every performance I got my hand on. I guess it's fair to say I was absolutely obsessed by magic in the pandemic. I still am, but obviously, you know, when you're sort of waiting for the world to reopen, that was the only thing I could do. So that's it. I think I've got a very obsessive personality as well. So when I sort of have an idea in my head and I'm really attracted to it, I'll just go straight for it. I could literally watch videos all day, every day, read all day, every day. And I do that a bit less now as I'm sort of, you know, doing more gigs and focusing on that side. But yeah, in the pandemic, just pure obsession. And I think that part of me still remains. I think one of the things in magic I find most fascinating is methods, is, you know, how you can create a trick. I can create a very deceptive, fooling piece of magic. And I guess that's something I think about a lot. I always want to make my methods as deceptive as it can for the spectator without compromising on the effect. You know, I want to do brilliant magic, which no one can figure out. And if it fools a few magicians on the way, I guess that's a benefit. But yeah, no, that's why.
Wow. But one thing that struck me from watching you perform is that presentationally you were very, very, very on point as well. You see a lot of technicians, and you are in many ways a technician, you see a lot of people who are technically gifted and they lack a little bit from a presentational point of view, or maybe they lack confidence when they're performing and that comes across. But having watched you perform, presentationally, you're very, very unique and very strong. I can understand learning, you know, immersing yourself in magic and magic books and learning every sleight that you can possibly get your hands on. But where did the ability to perform come from, especially when you're locked in a room with nowhere to go and nobody that you can actually perform to?
That's a very good point as well. And obviously, I thank you so much for saying that. I think it's because in university, that's why I went to Durham University up in the north, and if anyone ever went there or knows about it, they have a very lively student theater scene, student drama and stuff. So my entire university career, I spent about 5 years in university, and only in the last year did I really get into magic. But the first 4 years was mainly spent sort of doing drama, you know, not professionally by no means, but, you know, you get used to being on a stage. I was sort of, you know, acting, directing, producing things. And, you know, I was used to seeing, you know, being on stage myself or seeing other people on stage. And as a result, I think I just came very comfortable performing. I would have had dozens of hours or dozens of, you know, sort of times I performed on stage. So maybe hundreds of hours being there in that situation where I'm, you know, presenting myself to people. So when it came to actually presenting people on magic, well, it really is the same set of skills, you know, so it's even the basics, you know, knowing how you stand, knowing how to treat an audience and knowing how to look around or project my voice, which... Well, I guess that's another thing. I do have a sort of, you know, quite a loud and distinctive voice. I'm sure you and others have mentioned before, and that helps naturally. But no, really, it's just because, you know, I think sort of in university, I did so much acting. I think that's something which often comes up. That is something that often comes up for magicians. I often recommend, you know, taking a lesson in acting, improvisation, all these things, you know, learning how to be on stage or perform without the aid of magic. And, you know, that's why so many fantastic magicians are, you know, fantastic performers in general. As I'm sure you know. So, yeah, no, I guess that's the explanation for that. But I think deep down, I've always loved entertaining you. Even as a child, you know, I love, you know, being able to sort of, you know, entertain my friends in any way, you know, on stage or just telling jokes or, you know, being the center of attention to some degree. So I guess that's always been an interest of mine, yeah.
Okay. And I've only ever seen you do card magic. Is that kind of your main thing, or do you do other, you know, you said that you immersed yourself. Did you focus on card magic, or are there other aspects of close-up magic that you are equally as good at?
I definitely have a strong focus on card magic just because it has so much depth. As I said, I'm fascinated with depth of magic in general. But with card magic, I mean, card magic is so popular for so many magicians because you can do anything with it. You can do, you know, mentalism, you can do sort of, you know, magic, you know, you can do sort of things which are psychological, you can levitate them. There's no magic effect that you can't do with a deck of cards. And I think, you know, when I see a deck of cards, I just see all the possibilities, all the amazing things that you can do with a single pack. That being said, I definitely would never say I'm a card magician. If my friends see me perform, and if my general sort of paid audiences see me perform, you probably only see about, you know, one card routine per set. I like to sort of, you know, vary things up for them. But I think, you know, I just keep on getting drawn back to cards. That is what I know the best. But that being said, when I did sort of immerse myself, I try to learn everything. I don't really do mentalism much, but I am absolutely fascinated by it. In fact, during lockdown, I thought maybe I'd only be a mentalist. Screw anything else. Like, mentalism is just so fascinating as well. I'm going to do it, but yeah, you know, I love reading up mentalism. Yeah, you know, I know a great deal about close-up magic, a great deal about parlor or stage magic as well. I love to immerse myself in everything, but I always just come back to playing cards. But yeah, I think what I'm interested in and what I perform is very different. I try to keep that card magic to a sort of a minimum when I actually perform to a wider audience. I do believe in the strength of variety, and there's only so much they can take. But no, I guess sort of deep down, I specialize in cards. Yeah,
that's perfect. And so you said that you only got back into magic kind of properly in the last year of university. So obviously you finished university and you then, obviously you mentioned at the very beginning of the interview, you're a full-time pro now. How did you go, was the plan to leave university and go full-time pro straight away? Or is that something that happened a little bit later? I find it interesting because one of the questions I get on this channel an awful lot is, hey, I'm a part-time magician. I want to go and become a full-time magician. What step should I take? Now, you're somebody who really had a year of experience as an amateur in the pandemic. And then a couple of years later, you're a full-time pro making a living from doing this. So, some people have got a game plan. They're like, you know what? I'm going to spend 10 years doing this and then I'm going to do that. Like, you kind of gone, boom, right, let's do this. Was that the plan moving out of university, or did it happen by happenstance?
Yeah, I'd probably say the latter. This wasn't planned at all. So I left university. I got a good university, got a good degree. I did philosophy, politics, and economics, which is quite a strong degree. And all my friends were looking at jobs, consulting and finance. And when I left university, I didn't know what I wanted to do. But I just knew in the back of my mind it'd be something, some vague office job which will get you money. So I graduated in September 2021. And for quite a few months, I was just looking for work, applying for jobs, trying to navigate the whole market, decide what I want to do, apply for a few things that I just didn't really want to do. And it went like that for about 6 months. And then in early 2022, I remember the exact moment, like the exact sort of turning point. I was telling two magicians, I tell you, because you'll know who they are. It was at the Magic Circle. And I was chatting to a couple of magicians. I think it was Tom Brace and Simon Lipkin, actually.
Regularly
attend the circle. And I think it was like Simon that sort of initially brought up the point, just like, what are you doing in life? And I explained to him bluntly, I'm kind of looking for jobs. And to be honest, I don't really want to do any of them. It's like, I'm sort of doing this purely to make a living, because you go to university, you study, you get an office job, you do that forever, and then that's your life. That's what I believe, that's what everyone I knew was doing. And I didn't seriously consider any other path in life. I just thought, that's what I'm programmed to do. And you just mentioned to me quite simply, why don't you try to be a magician? What him and Tom did. I just thought, what do you mean try to be a magician? The idea was sort of alien to me that I'd even become a magician right now. But they sort of talks about, the ins and outs of it, to explain, this can be a very reasonable career for people. And sort of, I remember going home after that conversation being like, they are absolutely right. I'd be wasting my time, but I'd also be wasting my life if I do a job that I don't want to do. And the more and more I thought about it and sort of reckoned with myself, I realized, if I can make a living being a professional magician, I don't need to be the richest man in the world. But magic honestly brings me so much joy that, I'd happily, be a poor man just scraping by, being a magician. But I just, absolutely want to have that chance. So from that moment, really, I sort of, stopped thinking about, I literally stopped all their job applications. I let them in. I didn't go to the interviews. I just thought, let's give it a go. But for the first few months, I will say, I had absolutely got no clue what I was doing. Talking to people, I had no sense of business, no idea what to do. But what I did do early on is that I got a job from Marvin's Magic. They're always looking for people, and it's a really wonderful place to work. So I sort of got a job there, and sort of demonstrating magic. The only two tricks I went on demonstrated Svengali cards and the dynamic coins, the absolute classics. I've done each of those tricks a few 10,000 times by now. But the early part of my career, that really is what I did, and I still do it occasionally because I really, really enjoy that job. I'm sure you've probably gotten so many people on this channel who've worked there. I'm sure all the viewers know what Marvin's Magic is.
Magicians in the world made their start either demonstrating magic or demonstrating magic for Marvin. Like, they just did. Look at people like Andy Nyman, perfect example.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's sort of the list goes on. It's sort of absolutely endless. But that, I think, was actually, like, the more I think about it in hindsight, that was a really important part of my journey in being a magician. Because, as I said, I still actually really didn't have much experience falling to people. And even though you're doing the same, you know, couple of tricks over and over again, you get really good at interacting with people. I mean, customers, as I'm sure you know, are quite hard to deal with. So when you're at the stand, go, I'll show you something amazing. Take a look at this. It's the best thing in the store right here, right now. You know, they're going to come on and be, all right, impress me. What do you got? So yeah, having fought for literally tens of thousands of people there, and you know, doing it all day, every day, like, you know, doing it sort of, you know, 9 hours a day, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. I mean, now when I look at gig, I think, oh, it's 2.5 or 3 hours long. I'm like, that cannot hurt me. and yeah, like it would almost be silly to complain. But really, like, it sort of fast tracked me, because really, like, I'd be performing very, very occasionally. But now, you know, I'd be doing, you know, sort of, I'd be performing, you know, 200 different, you know, I'd be performing those two tricks 100 times each a day to, you know, maybe 1,000 people in total. And even though it is a demonstration, you are sticking to a script, you just get really, really good at performing magic. You know, you learn all these little details, you know, about the timing, you know, the way you sort of look at someone, you know, the structure of magic trick, you know, why these tricks are so effective. And you spend all day thinking about it. Yeah. And you learn so many wider lessons all about magic from doing that. So I'd recommend, you know, especially for someone younger, or, you know, for someone who wants to do something part-time, always looking for people, I would absolutely highly recommend it. You know, I've met Marvin a few times as well, obviously now the president, absolutely fantastic guy. And you meet some wonderful people there, and some wonderful people that will help train you to do it. But now, that's something I'd always recommend people, and that was such an integral step. But in terms of, you know, obviously now I'm a full-time professional, and, you know, a bit busier, you know, doing gigs quite regularly. And well, as you said at the beginning, that is because in April this year, April 2023, I entered in one of the competition for the Magic Circle Close-Up Magician of the Year.
And I want to talk about that, but before we talk about the competition, what made you decide to join the Magic Circle? Because again, the reason I ask is there's a lot of people who come on this channel and they say, you know what, it's my goal to join the Magic Circle, and it's a thing that they're worried about, because they, you know, unlike a lot of magic clubs, the Magic Circle's audition actually means something. You know, I know so many people who audition and don't get through, and the apprenticeship program shows how seriously people take the admission into the Magic Circle. It's not an easy thing to do at all. What, I suppose this question is twofold. One, what made you decide to join the Magic Circle? And two, do you have any advice for people that are potentially wanting to join?
Absolutely. Well, wonderful. I got a lot to say about this. First of all, I'm a massive advocate of Magic Circle. You can basically find me there every single Monday without fail. Because I live in London, you know, it's very easy for me to get to. But no, I absolutely love it. And one more thing, I also sort of help them as well. So every Friday we have a close-up show, Close-Up at the Magic Circle. And I'm sort of one of the members of the team helping produce it. So you've got sort of Liam Ball as well, who I believe you interviewed before as well, and you've met him before. So he is like sort of the main person of that, you know, organizing the show now. But I'm also one of the people that regularly perform and host and sort of help with the admin with that show. First of all, why did I join it? I knew of it. I didn't really know what the Magic Circle was or what being a member, you know, actually meant. Was it like equity? Is it sort of insurance? What actually happens there? I don't really know. As I look into it, I realize you've got sort of a whole host of benefits, you know, sort of the main one being every Monday night, you get to go to the headquarters and hang out with other magicians. That is something I've never done before. So when I saw that, I thought, like, that's a no-brainer. I mean, this seems to be sort of, you know, the epicenter of magic in London, perhaps the epicenter of magic in, you know, the entire UK. When I sort of realized that major benefit of being able to sort of see people constantly, see new people and, you know, sort of hang out with them all the time and just, you know, get better at magic, I thought, that's a no-brainer, really, that by itself, yet alone all the wonderful lectures, the access to the library and all the other the shows and everything that's going on there, and be able to say, remember, there's so many benefits. So for me, be able to hang out with magicians every Monday night, that's an absolute no-brainer. So that really is the reason why I joined. So sort of, you know, I sort of signed up, you know, I got interviewed during the pandemic, and I was like, when they sort of started opening up in-person auditions, you know, I went straight to it, no hesitation. I'm like, me, like, get me in there. I need to audition right now. I want to officially be a member from an apprentice. And it's quite interesting. I remember it was October 2021 when I had my audition the day before my birthday. And I remember being slightly terrified because, yeah, at that point, I just left university. This was before I deserted a term professional. And I had absolutely really no experience performing magic to like more than two or three people. As you can imagine, at that point, I'd been doing a bit in university to my friends and all that. I'd only ever shown tricks to like two or three people at a time. And now the task of having to perform to 30 people and magicians was completely alien and completely terrifying to me. But as I, you know, I worked incredibly hard and I did pass, and it's been a, you know, the sort of, it's been, I've been, you know, it's, it generally has changed my life ever since then. So that's why I joined. In terms of advice on joining, the main thing really is the exam. There are a few things you have to sort of get referrals from people inside, which is absolutely fine as an interview, but really, of course, it's the exam. I know I have lots of bits of advice on that. I think the main things I have in particular, I'll try and think of like, the one thing I definitely would say for that exam is that it's incredibly strange to perform for magicians. We all show tricks to our friends, but like, how often do we really like perform as a magician to other magicians? It seems absolutely ridiculous. And I think that is probably the one thing that is daunting for everyone, that you're going to see about maybe 50, 60 magicians, all members of the magic circle, all very good magicians that know what they're doing, all watching you. I think it's, any magician would find that to be a terrifying prospect, right? However, as I learned when I did my audition, even though you're having 50 or 60 magicians watching you, all of them are incredibly supportive. And every time I go up to watch the auditions happen, yeah, I don't think it's the hardest crowd you'll ever face. I think it's the easiest crowd you'll ever face. Because on one hand, yes, you're not going to fool them, but also you don't have to worry about fooling them. You can just be relaxed. And also, every single person in that room, they want you to succeed. Like, you know, if you're a professional magician doing magic at a restaurant, maybe a third of them, you know, don't really care about the magic, don't really want to see you. But out of these people are magicians who love watching magic. They want you to get into the magic circle. They will laugh at every joke you have. They will applaud at every moment there is. Like, everyone there wants you. That is something you probably won't know until you step into that room. But I'm here telling you that. So if you are thinking about that audition, you are worried about it, remember, everyone there wants you to succeed. And if that, you know, I think that's one big aspect. And a couple of things I'll mention as well. Another thing is that people are, you know, often wonder about the level of skill. They think, you know, do I need to be, you know, a professional magician or engineer? Do I need the most technical person? Like, do I need to be top palms and changes and passes? Or we have it, they have it all on the website, the marking criteria. There's, you know, three of examiners, they mark you out of 20 each. You need to get 12 out of 20. But you don't need to be doing the most ridiculous sights in the world. You don't need to be a professional. The magic circle is open to anyone at all. It's open to amateurs and professionals. It's people who are sort of confident of magic, who would have, if you are sort of a magician and you happily sort of identify as a magician and your all friends, you know, you're a magician and you've been entertaining people well, I'd say give it a go. There's absolutely no harm, you know, simply auditioning and giving it a go. If you've seen the website, you can see this sort of level of skill, but even things like a double lift or a chop change would be the minimum requirement to get in. So you don't need to be an absolute expert. Don't worry about that either. You need some skill and some ability to perform, but honestly, don't worry about that. And one more thing is when it comes to that audition, you know, don't be too clever. A lot of magicians I've seen, you know, sort of want to do come in and sort of have all their ideas and try and blow everyone away, fool them and do something amazing. You just need to pass. Only do material that you actually sincerely comfortable and that you know inside and out. Because if you are going to be nervous, what's the worst thing they have to do a routine you've never done before? And you know, when I went up to the audition, even though it's a very foreign situation for me, I was so comfortable with that material because it was based on so many things I've done before. So don't try and have your brand new trick. This is the one I learned just to get into the magic circle. You know, sort of, you know, do what you're fundamentally comfortable with. Or, yeah, you know, by all means, though, sort of produce an act which is unique to that circle, which is for that audition, but really, if you are going to, you know, sort of, you know, do that audition act, you know, make sure it's practiced. Make sure you do it in front of other people as well, your friends, your family. Get feedback of all of them. It'll be very, very valuable. But yeah, just do not be too smart. You know, stick to the script. You know, do what you do well. I've just tried to enjoy it. I see so many people there who are nervous, whether they're getting it or not. But I think the best thing to do is just you try and enjoy it like a magical performance where everyone's rooting for you. And, you know, I think you'll have a great time. And there's literally no harm giving it a go. And you can do it by Zoom as well. I believe you can still do it by Zoom. So even if you're abroad or they're deep in the north of England or very far away. I mean, I really don't see a reason not to try and give it a go.
That's great. That's really good advice. And I totally agree with everything you've said. Because it can be nerve-wracking doing that audition, but it's something that you just have to pull the band-aid off and do 100%. And you said to me, you were very nervous about doing the audition. You were very nervous about doing the exam, but you got through it. So what made you, bearing in mind you were very new into coming back to magic, and you were very nervous doing the exam, John, what made you enter the magic circle, close-up magician of the year? I mean, why would you want to do that? I mean, obviously you won, so it was the right decision to make. But like what was going through your mind? You know, like, hey, I've been back into magic about a year now. I'm in a society of some of the greatest magicians of all time. A lot of those people are going to be entering the close-up competition. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to enter and compete against them.
It's a very good question. and even though it ended well, I need to think back to, because it was, that's a while ago by now. At that point when I sort of I've heard of the close-up magic competition for a while now. I'd seen a lot of things on YouTube, and I also, as I said, when I was immersed in magic, I looked up everything. You know, I'm a big fan of FISM. I've never been there, but I always look up the acts and all the big things. And I think one part of me, I'd always been fascinated by magic competitions. So when I got back into it during March 2020, I sort of, something about them, to me, like, I think competitions were great because it really sort of pushes magic forward. It pushes yourself forward as a performer. If you have a competition, it's like a deadline. I have like this deadline to something absolutely amazing in really, really tough conditions. So for me, that always appealed to me in terms of entering one. But also whenever I saw magic competitions, like when I saw other people doing them, I just, saw that these people were really, really pushed to do something amazing. When you see a wonderful FISM app with surprise winner, it's always something which has just taken magic to the next level. It's a brand new method or a brand new routine. And to me, I thought if I enter a competition, maybe I'll push myself to a whole new depth that I've never been to before. And what if I enter a competition? What a lovely sort of challenge to have. And honestly, when I entered that competition, when I sort of sent in my video for the drafts, me put into the finals of it, I didn't think I was going to win. I thought I had a decent chance of getting into the final six, but I had no intention to win. And even when I found out I was in the finals and I saw the list of the six contestants, I generally thought to myself, bloody hell, I'm the first act on, which is a sort of psychological disadvantage, but also every other magician there was absolutely fantastic. I've sort of heard of them before. I'd seen their act before. And I thought, there is absolutely no way I'm going to win. But just saying, I've sort of gone ahead of it, just to backtrack. To sum it up really succinctly, I just thought it would be a wonderful challenge to have. And to be fair, by the time I decided I'd enter, I've been back into magic, 2.5 years now. I think at that point, I've recently, turned professional as well. I was working at Marvin's Magic. I was performing a lot more, doing a few more gigs. I was a bit more confident. But still, I mean, my experience in comparison to every other person, was absolutely minimal. And when I think about the acts there, every single person there have been doing magic their entire life. Every single person there probably had at least 20, 15 years of magic experience, or was professionals, have done lots of gigs. I just sort of stuck to what I just thought, forget about winning. I'm just here for the challenge. I'm here to have a good time. I'm here to go in front of all these people and sort of prove what I can do, really push myself, doing that, which is going to push my technical limits, push my creative limits, push myself as a performer. And that's why I entered. And even though I thought I wasn't going to win, I thought, no, I'm sticking to my aims. I know why I'm here. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to push myself and do the best I can. If I get maybe third place, I'll be over the moon. I'm not going to win. I guess that's why I entered, just to push myself really far.
Was there an element of hoping that the just even being able to say that you competed in the close-up competition would lead to maybe more work? Because obviously you're working for Marvin's Magic. You've just recently gone full time. It takes a while to build up a business. It takes a while to build up a steady flow of gigs coming into a business. Was there an element of, this is going to allow me to put myself out there? Hopefully more people will know who I am. It's going to hopefully lead to more people passing me work. Or was it really more about kind of challenging yourself? And then there's a follow-up question. Has it led to more work?
Oh, that's a very good question. I mean, I think it's weird because I think I knew that if I won, that there would be some benefit. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like winning Britain's Got Talent, but obviously, like, it's a wonderful thing. I knew that, well, what a wonderful thing to have in my business card. If a client asks, like, who are you? Well, I'm the close-up magician of the year. That's sort of like the trump card. That's sort of like the best testimonial, is that a society which is, you know, the best society, yeah, the best magic society in the world has given you this wonderful title. I mean, I knew that there'd be some degree of power to it. But honestly, as I said, leading up to it, I had no thought I'd win at all. I literally, even once I'd done the act, and even after I saw all the other acts as well, I thought, yeah, I reckon I'm about third or fourth right now. And and actually, I mean, there's a video of it somewhere. It's actually when I did win the competition. I was in such disbelief. They announced second place, they announced third place, announced second place. And I was sitting in my seat in the Magic Circle Theatre thinking, now this guy's going to win. Like, he was absolutely fantastic. And when they said my name, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Like, I sort of like made my way up into the stage with 150 people looking at me, just applauding, going wild. And I'm just thinking, I think I'm going to faint. Well, this must be real. They must have gotten the wrong name. I was clutching onto my heart. They handed me the award. I was just absolutely, for the whole night, I was speechless. So yeah, literally until the last moment, I sort of, to sum up, I knew there'd be some kind of benefit to it. But I was so convinced, even to the moment I've had the trophy in my hand, that I'd absolutely win it. And that's what, to get to the second part of that, whilst that wasn't my aim, since doing that, it's definitely raised my profile a little bit. And as I've said, like, you know, it's not like Britain's Got Talent, where sort of if you say that, instantly, like, you know, people are going to come to you. Like, it's not like I've got sort of, you know, loads of, you know, work just purely by being, you know, the close-up magician of the year. But it has helped in more of a secondary way. As I said, you know, when I have been on the phone negotiating people, that is something that stands out. Or I have a referral, and they say, you know, who is this guy? And they, you know, they can say, you are the Magic Circle close-up magician of the year. And they go, oh, that's good. I want to hear. Yeah, that's some tick the box. We know it's going to be good. But, you know, definitely, like, you know, just, you know, have some, you know, you're not sort of lead magnet at the moment. You're going to have some inquiries that fall through. Maybe I'm being too humble. I'm not sort of pushing it enough. I know some magicians have it everywhere. Maybe I actually don't really tell many people about it, so that's probably my fault. But yeah, I think definitely raised my profile a little bit. And I think most more than that, actually, another like secondary way it helped is that gave me way more confidence, because that thing sort of turned up then. Because at the time, you know, I was still really relying on Marvin's magic. I was only doing, you know, sort of a couple of gigs a month, which really wasn't enough to sustain myself on. But after, it gave me some confidence. I got to think, like, you know, I had to tell, I'm not a person with massive amounts of confidence in terms of, you know, in terms of business. But I looked at myself, well, actually, I've got this award now, and I have the title of the bloody Magic Circle close-up magician of the year. Like, you know, I should put myself out there. Like, you know, sort of, this is the, I was always worried, like, am I good enough to do a gig? Am I good enough to charge X amount? Like, am I good enough for someone to rely on me to be the entertainment for their really important event? Like, every time I did a gig before, I was nervous, because I was like, oh, God, like, sort of, like, everyone's sort of relying on me to do a good job. I was like, I was kind of terrified. But ever since then, I was able to relax and sort of, I knew now, as you know, I'm not the best magician of the year or the best magician in the country, of course not, but I'm clearly good now. Like, so it took sort of that big award for me to go, okay, I am good. I can trust myself. Yeah, I'm now more confident in getting other people to trust me. Yeah, it just gave me so much more self-confidence business-wise. Even just as a magician, like, I felt far more confident in my own opinions, and my own views of magic, because, you know, that act I did, and like, you can actually sort of, you know, re-watch it on the Magic Circle website if you remember. Anyone here, if you go on the video section, you can watch it again. It's sort of, you know, it's not the same watching it on video compared to real life, but it'll show you what I did. But that entire act was just sort of, you know, things I did. I didn't just take a routine from a book and copy it onto my act. You know, I had to think of everything. I had to think of the structure, what the unique methods, how it would all come together. It's actually winning that trophy. You know, it almost made me feel vindicated. It's like my ideas were vindicated, my style was vindicated, like all this, you know, was suddenly approved. You know, by the lay judges and, you know, the panel of magician judges and, you know, so many other people. So yeah, I think, and if anyone wants to enter it in the future, you know, with the intention of, you know, massive financial gain, you know, I'll tell you right now, I don't really think that happens. But I think the secondary benefits of, you know, that you can say you've done it, that you can say you've won it or come second or third, or the confidence that'll give you, I think that's a real benefit of it. And, you know, looking back since then, yeah, no, whenever it's come to the business side of magic, I've been so much more confident as an operator. You know, going about things, and still am. And as I said, I think I've said before, I'm not the best when it comes to business. I am young, and magic is something you need to build up on. But I think, yeah, the confidence game definitely fast-tracked me a little bit. I've got a long way to go, but I think if I didn't win that award, honestly, like, yeah, maybe I wouldn't be just now. Maybe I would have gone on and fallen back on my degree on my shelf, and, you know, got some regular jobs, because I mean, I only would have you know, tried to be a professional magician for so long. I did tell myself, like, yeah, if it takes a year and like nothing's happened, I might as well quit. I'm just wasting my time. Yeah. No, that award in many ways was a turning point, perhaps mostly psychological.
Wow. That's fantastic. And here's a question. If you had to kind of put your finger on one, looking back now in hindsight, I know you said at the time, you didn't think you were going to win. You didn't even think that like you were going to win when, you know, they were about to announce first place. Looking back in hindsight, do you know why you won? Can you look back and go, actually, because you said all the other acts were great. Can you look back and go, actually, yes, I think this is why the judges decided I was the best.
Yes. I mean, yeah, as I said, when I got the trophy, I still thought, but this guy's out was so good. Their out was so good. Like, why? I almost felt guilty. Like, why on earth have I won over, you know, all these, you know, other fantastic competitors? And then the next day, I was a bit more rational. I had time to think about it, you know, the actual reason why, you know, they put me on top. I wouldn't say one reason. I'd say it's a few reasons. A few big ones that I can boil it down to. I think number one is that sense of originality. And when I say originality, a lot of magicians think you have to do something incredibly strange. I can imagine with like toothbrushes or to have the craziest presentation in the world. I mean, I did my entire act with just a single deck of cards. Yeah, some quite complicated magic, but it was just card magic. And the individual points, the individual tricks you would have seen forward, there was like a traveler's card going to my pocket, a sealed deck of cards, cards to appear, vanish very visually. Individually, all those tricks exist. But I think it was, you know, the originality and structure that brought it all together. It wasn't like, actually, and I'll say, like, you know, if you go into a competition and you do a routine, which everyone knows, like the ambitious card, all the judges, to some extent, are going to switch off. Like, if you do, you know, a matrix routine and you're just doing the standard moves, the judges and all the magicians are just going to switch off to some extent. I mean, and they're going to watch you, but, I mean, you know exactly what's going to happen. So I think if you are entering, one of the reasons that helped me is that I went in, I did a routine that no one could predict what would happen. It was still structurally sound. It was very structurally sound. It's still built up in a very rational way. Mm. But the routine structure itself was like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm curious. I'm going to watch on. So that has two benefits. Number one, the judges were sort of far more curious because they have no idea what's going to happen next. So already sort of psychologically more engaged. But also, you're going to get more points for originality. Like they can say, you know, this magician has a really good eye for structure, how to build an act, how to build a routine. And that is something that is really, really important in the competition. You can't go on and just do like two or three tricks, no matter how good they are. They have to be connected. They have to all build up in a certain way. So that's something I had. Obviously, the other acts had that to various degrees, but that's something I think I did really, really well. Another aspect, which people all around me seem to say, is that naturally, as a performer, I stood out. I think you were very kind to mention the comments about, you know, me being a strong performer. I wouldn't agree as much as you, but I do think I'm decent. But I think, you know, the one thing is that just simply as a performer, I stood out. Like the moments leading up to that competition, I was so nervous. All my friends, like I brought a few layman friends to, you know, see my act and magicians. I was shaking like hell. Like, I just couldn't handle it. I felt like I was about to have a death sentence. But no, when I got onto the stage, you know, I did what I did in my bedroom hundreds and hundreds of times before. And perform, and I sort of performed with really, really great confidence. Obviously, you have to, if you go into a competition, and, you know, which for the title of close-up just there, you have the confidence as if you already are the close-up magician of the year. But you know, I think, you know, something about my persona or some character, you know, really, really stuck out. I don't think I could pinpoint exactly what it was, but simply in the way I am, you know, maybe in the way I perform, you know, I'm a little bit sort of self-deprecating. You know, so I make a really, really sincere effort to, you know, try and connect to the spectator that was with me on stage and all my other audience members as well. Yeah, as I said, because I've done so much acting, I think I spoke very well. I had a great sense of clarity. And, you know, it was clear I was a really confident and at ease and relaxed performer. And obviously, again, all the other performers had this to varying degrees. But I think maybe in that performance sense, you know, I stood out a little bit more. And, you know, sort of they just, you know, really sort of, you know, warmed up to me as a character. But that's another thing, like in terms of, actually, I should probably, I was also going to say, do you want me to give sort of advice in general about how to do well in competitions?
Yeah, I think that would be great. I mean, there's so many people that want to enter competitions, and it's a very nerve-wracking thing to try and kind of think through what to do. So any advice would be great, and any aspect of entering a competition.
Yeah. So in terms of advice, so I'd say the two main things that made me stand up was that sort of structure and that originality I had to my act, because you have to do something a bit different to get noticed. And again, also in terms of my persona, there was something about the way I performed and the way, you know, as I treated my audience really well. There was something different which marked me out from all the other performers. When you enter, so those are the two main things I would say about me. But I think honestly, those are two really important points, is your originality in terms of your act and originality in terms of your persona. Because think about it. Think about it from the point of view of the, if you're entering a competition, think about what the judges are thinking. They're going to see 6, 8, maybe more acts even, maybe like 10 or 12 acts. And, you know, it gets a bit, that situation, it gets a little bit boring. I mean, You're just seeing magicians again and again do tricks and they're all really good. You get a bit bombarded with it. I mean, they might end up being a little bit bored, to be honest. And no matter how good the competition is, especially if it's like, you know, Fizzen, where they're doing like, you know, 20 acts a day or whatever. In some regard, you have to stand out from all the other acts and think about, you know, in some regard, you have to just be a little bit different. You have, so that, you know, when they look back at the half a dozen acts they've seen, yours is the one that comes straight to mind. And I think that is something that's absolutely so, so important. I think to me, if anything, that, you know, being the differential is the key to everything. I mean, you could do a fantastic act full of the classic routines. You could do a Brightest Card Omni deck. You could produce smoke, produce bottles, saw newspaper. The same effects tend to come up over and over again in competitions, like if you've seen any before. But is being a differential and being just different and unique enough to be remembered by the judges is something that I think is incredibly valuable. And that thing which I think set me apart, you know, is being different. And, you know, there are certain ways to do that. I mean, the number one thing is, you know, simply do not go for the standard effects everyone else is doing. It's not easy, of course. It's not easy to be different. absolutely not. But that is something, if you do want to do well in a competition, if you want to succeed, that originality is something that all the judges are going to value, be it your persona or your material. That's one really, you know, really, really clear thing. Actually, I've got a few other sort of notes I have in mind as well. I'm literally trying to go through my notes. I sort of made a few, because I had a feeling this topic would come up, and I think this would be, you know, valuable for magicians as well.
Absolutely.
In terms of material, I would say you really have to do, is remember, whatever the competition is, you have to do the best stuff. I mean, yeah, I think if you're in a competition, like a smooth, really subtle, calm and casual style, where maybe you take like 5 minutes to do like one revelation, maybe that's great for you, but for a competition, whatever competition, you've got a time limit, and the time limit for this one is about 8 minutes. It's not a lot of time. So you really, first of all, the tricks you choose have to be killer effects. I mean, like everything has to be like 10 out of 10, absolutely brilliant. And it seems really obvious, but I have seen many people, not this year, but I've seen other competitions or entries in the past where people go for effects and they're quite small effects, they're quite minor. I mean, if you go ahead and do twists in the aces and don't really care about it, I mean, you're just wasting everyone's time at that point to some extent. You have to go in and you have to do the killer straight away. You really have to do some brilliant piece of magic, you know, really early on, because in whether it's 8, 10 or 12 minutes, like, the performance has to be so dense. You have to fit so much into that short period of time. You really have to make every second count in terms of your material, but also in terms of your scripting. It has to be, you know, incredibly dense, incredibly precise. Yeah, I remember like going for my script, they're taking up line for line, because if I say that line I don't need, that's 10 seconds I don't need. Yeah, if I take out a few lines, that's 30 seconds, I can use another effect. You have to be really, really careful about your entire script, make it incredibly dense. Like, you know, honestly, on humor, I put a joke here, and put a joke here as well. Like, every single line has to be accounted for, because you only get so much time out of the competition. So density is, you know, in some, like, you know, really getting like so much quality into a short period of time is, again, something that's incredibly important. I mean, if you do see action in Fizmo, you see loads of past competition acts for the Magic Circle, you'll notice. I mean, here's a great one, because you can find it on YouTube. It's a James Brown act. He won in 2006, an absolutely terrific act. If you boil it down to the basics, like, he had a really brilliant con routine, a brilliant sort of card on the box style routine, and a card on the watch. But the way he structured it all together, the professionalism he had in that, in performance, and also just the sheer density of magic, was kick after kick after kick after kick, and the effects are really, really strong. He was saying afterwards, like, oh my god, that was a fantastic experience. The density, and, you know, so you really need to choose the right effects in the competition, because if you go in and you do something, you know, really subtle, that takes a lot of time, that takes a lot of process and dealing, and to some degree, you've already lost. I really think that, you know, it's really making that time count. And another thing is that, remember that when you're performing in a competition, it's a completely different environment to anything else. Like, similar to what I was saying about the Magic Circle, actually, when you're forming a competition, it will largely be a magician audience. You'll have a few magicians. Not only that, you'll have a few magicians really scrutinizing you, really watching you. And you'll feel like, and every time I made eye contact with the judges, I thought, oh God, what are they thinking? You can't help me nervously make eye contact with one of them. But you do have to remember you are performing for magicians. And again, similar as to what I said about the circle, do not let that get you down. Still perform the way you would normally perform. You know, still go out and, you know, still pause to get that pause break, still pause to get the reaction. Because I've seen many magicians go for their routine, see they're not getting a reaction, just march on. But you know, when I did it, the one thing I made sure was, you know, pause every time, you know, sort of I show a single playing card, wait, they will applause, they'll react. Something's gonna happen if you just give that beat for a moment. So again, yeah, it's a recurring theme actually in this interview, is do not let performing in front of magicians get you down. Still treat it like a normal act. And I'm trying to think, one more thing in terms of, you know, but outside of just doing well when you get to the competition, I think you do have to go in, you do have to go in with the right intentions. As I said, I sort of entered kind of deeping down and hoping I'd win. As I got closer and closer to the competition, that was not my aim. My aim was to just do the best I can. My aim was just to push myself as far as I possibly can, and, you know, build something absolutely brilliant. And if you go in with that mindset of going in thinking, I'm going to push myself, I'm going to do something I've not done before, and I've got this amount of weeks to do it in, I mean, really, you can't lose. I mean, if I finished that sort of competition and I didn't even place all, I'd be a bit disappointed, but I'd still be happy I went through the entire process, because that entire process pushed me so much. It made me think, it taught me so much, not just in relation to competitions, but so much in magic in general. And it gave me so much confidence anyway as a performer. And I can say I've gone out and I've done this really bloody difficult thing. And, you know, I've done it. And I've made it out the other side a better person. So I think that's the one intention you should have, because you can't guarantee you'll win. You can have the best act in the world, and if someone's better than you on the day, then that's it. You can have the best act in the world, and maybe something goes wrong. You do have to go in and just think, I'm going to prove myself. I'm going to push myself to the limit. And that is really my aim, and that was my aim. And lo and behold, I think one thing I will say is that because I had that aim in mind, it did take the pressure off winning. I could just go in and just enjoy myself. And that's sort of the final thing I would say about it that really is important, is, you know, don't do this. You're doing this for fun. Like, we're all doing magic for fun. And I think if you are at a point where sort of you're the stress of like winning the competition, like, oh God, I've got all these other things to do in the competition, I can't make it the best it can be. If you are stressing about it, I mean, let me tell you right now, you are not going to win. You do have to enjoy the process of it all. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think I can, obviously there were moments of stress, but I definitely would say I really enjoyed it. I relished the process of self-improvement. And as a result, when I did get on the stage, I was no longer so worried about every side of it. I was not worried about, oh, am I going to mess up? I just thought, I'm just going to go on. I've already reaped my rewards of self-improvement. I'm just going to go on, and I'm just going to do it the best I can. And especially those last few points, that is a mindset I think you need to do well.
Yes. Really, really great advice. Mindset is more important than anything, 100%. So, next question is, obviously, the close-up competition at the Magic Circle is one of the most prestigious competitions in the UK. Are you planning on entering other competitions? You said you like competing, you like the idea of competing, you like challenging yourself. Are there other competitions, you know, both within the UK and further abroad that you'd like to see yourself doing? You know, there's so many different competitions right out there, everything from IBM up to FISM and all points in between. Are you wanting to prove yourself again? Or have you got to the point where you're like, you know what, I got what I wanted out of this. I've proved myself. I have my confidence. I'm good. Like, where are you with that?
That's a very good question, because because so many people do ask me that. They even ask me, John, are you going to enter the competition for next year? Defend your title. And I told them every single time, it's not wrestling. I don't have to defend anything. I can just, it's not WWE. I'm not the reigning heavyweight champion. I can sit back and relax now. But that is something that I do absolutely think about, because, yeah, I really did enjoy that process. I think since then, I've been swept up into the world of being a professional magician. Like, since April, I've been focused on, you know, being, you know, trying to just, in general, improve myself as a magician, you know, trying to get more gigs, you know, lead that professional life. And, you know, ever since taking that focus, it's worked very, very well. You know, I'm really happy in the current situation I am in. But every now and then, I do think it was fun. Maybe I can push myself again. Because when you do professional magic professionally, yeah, it can get, not boring, but it can get a bit monotone. You do the same thing over and over again. You go to gigs and maybe you vary up the repertoire. But day in, day out, you don't have any other sort of external aims. There are no extra challenges in life. You're just sort of going through. And feasibly, you can just do walk-around gigs or stand-up gigs until you die. And that's the thing. I think since that competition, it's occurred to me that sort of like, I'm just doing this over and over again. Like, and as fun as it is, and I absolutely love doing it, don't get me wrong, I do think I need something else. It's sort of, now it's been 7 months, so it does come to me thinking, I need a project. I need something else. So yeah, and it's not necessarily like, I don't have a time frame on it. I'm not going to say like, basically the initial thought was I'm going to sit back and relax now, live my life. But you know, I mean, I had that feeling once it entered competition once. I know it's going to happen again. And I already do sort of feel it. I get so many ideas about, oh, that'd be great for this, or that'd be great for this. That's a really, really nice idea. Maybe I could save that for a competition, enter it in a few years' time when I've gotten it really good. But no immediate pressure, but who knows later down the line. I mean, you know, FISM is obviously, I almost feel embarrassed saying out loud because FISM is obviously the top of the world. But like, and I'm obviously, I don't think I'm one of the best magicians of all, not even close, like not remotely close. The people you see there, even the ones that don't win anything, are absolutely fantastic. But, you know, but then again, I said that to myself about this competition. I thought I'm never going to win. But now I've learned so much about competitions. And actually the one thing I've learned about entering competitions is that there are specific rules which apply to competitions, which don't apply to wider performance. Because honestly, like you can be, you know, so you can win the top awards in FISM or the IBM or Magic Circle. But like, you know, entering a competition, doing that is so different than any kind of magic will ever do. So I think actually, like by now, my sort of mind and my sort of brain to think about how to sort of approach competitions and structure them. You know, I think that's the most important thing, perhaps even more important than being a good magician, is just being a good competition magician. You know, like thinking with that mindset, because you do see so many brilliant magicians, you know, who are fantastic at manipulation on stage. And maybe when you meet them in person, and maybe they struggle, and maybe they don't do any magic along close up. Like, so the answer is a sort of maybe, because I think I'm the kind of person that needs these challenges. Like, when I go out and do gigs, like, I know some magicians that are really happy to stick to the same classics. But I get so bored of, you know, tricks so quickly. Like, if I go out to a gig, I want to do like 12, I want a rolling repertoire of like maybe 15 or so effects and try and carry them all with me. It gets very heavy. But I want to vary like every single trick I can do in every table. I mean, that's my personality. I get bored, you know, doing the same thing. So I think eventually the competition bug will hit me. And whether I'll be successful or not, I don't know. But again, the intention will entirely be just to push myself. And again, that's why I recommend it to people.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. And at the very beginning of this interview, you talked about creativity, and one of the things that you love about magic is the ability to be creative. You know, now more than ever, there's more and more people that are becoming creators in magic and, you know, releasing magic to the general community. Is that something that you would like to do down the line, or are you kind of laser focused on performing, or would you like to be a creator within this industry with that love of creating that you talked about?
Man.
Oh, okay, right.
I don't have anything. I don't have anything concrete in the pipeline. I don't consider myself to be sort of a creator. I think what I can do well is that I can sort of put existing things together. Like, you know, I think I'm like quite decent at structuring a routine. Stringing things together, like putting routine together. I think I'm definitely good at that. And that is, you know, a form of creativity. That is a form of creation. And come up with an interesting script and come up with interesting presentations and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. In terms of creating like really original tricks, like that's not my strong suit. I think, you know, I'm more on the macro level of like stringing things together. That being said, there's certainly a few tricks I sort of have come up with, which I think is method, which are original in terms of method or in terms of its effect. So, I mean, maybe, actually that's something I could talk to you afterwards, and who knows, maybe in a few years' time, these things will hit the market one day. But there are a few things which come to mind in terms of releasing effects. And that's something I'd absolutely love to do. And again, because I love being part of, I love doing magic. And also, I love being part of this community. I know I'd love to sort of get my name out there further, not by being a performer, by being someone who's actually come up with a few, like, you know, novel and interesting ideas that I can share with people. And that's another thing, like, when it does come to magic, I probably share too much. Like, I'm too eager to tell some of my friends, oh, this is how this trick works. Like, take a look at this. Isn't it an amazing method? And they go, John, I wish you didn't tell me that. You can't tell everyone this. It's a brilliant trick. What are you doing? Giving it away. But no, I really love yeah, I'm not, again, I don't really care about money, but I would love to sort of, I always sort of, you know, love helping magicians though, even if it's just giving comments on their act or feedback in terms of structure and how to string routine together. I always try to help magicians when I can, because, well, I mean, I don't know, it's just who I am. I just love helping people. I absolutely love sharing with other magicians. The way I see it, like, you know, I'm here, you know, I'm into magic, you know, I love magic because I love giving people that incredible experience of astonishment. It's a really rare experience. You don't really get it, the sense of astonishment from much else, that sense of, you know, laughter, that sense of just, yeah, you know, you've almost like fallen through a trap door and you don't know where you are. That sense that reality has just sort of shut down for a moment, and maybe there is something beyond reality, and you just sort of have that moment of wonder. Like, you know, I really, really love that feeling. And if I can help, you know, sort of my fellow magicians to give their audience that brilliant feeling, then again, that job, you know, then I get a great deal of satisfaction from that. So maybe, you know, I'd love to help more in the future. Yeah, you know, so I'd love to, you know, release some things in the future. And in general, as I said, I honestly try to help magicians with a trick or with an idea to the best of my ability. I'm not the smartest man in the world, but yeah, I try and help where I can. But no, I absolutely love to give back. So maybe that's something we'll see in the future. I'll talk to you afterwards.
That's great. And you obviously, I've seen you spend quite a lot of time with the Magic Circle Young Magicians Club as well, which is great. Yeah. I've got one last question for you, John, which is, how old are you? You're 23?
20, just turned 26.
Oh, 26, sorry, okay. So you're 26, you're very young, and you've achieved an incredible amount. Like, you really have. So my last question is, what's next? Like, I know from speaking to you that you're an ambitious person, and I know that you're going to have ambitions. And to be clear, and I say this to a lot of people I interview, but it's so true with you. You've achieved so much by the age of 26. If you could take your average magician and show them what you've achieved at the age of 26 and say, would you be happy with that at the end of your career? They would say yes. Just being able to turn around and say, I am the Magic Circle Close-Up Magician of the Year. Very few people can say that. Very few people can say that. So what's next? What do you have left on your magical bucket list that you want to hit? We've talked a little bit about creativity. We've talked a little bit about other competitions potentially in the future. But is there something else that you want to do?
That's a very good question. Yeah, no, that's it. I need to think for perhaps just a moment. I mean, there's one thing I'll say, which isn't really a specific aim, but, you know, I'll go to like a sort of more general aim first, which is that, you know, my aim is to be the best magician I can be. You know, I really, really do love magic. I love every chance, you know, I can to perform. Like, you know, so, yeah, well, obviously there is one side of it where I guess one aim, which is, you know, would be an obvious one, is, you know, to try and make a good living doing magic. I've just got into it. Things are going well, and one aim is to continue, you know, evolving that over and over, and like, you know, get to the point where I can happily, you know, have my own house or raise a family. Those are the obvious ones, and I think that's sort of a given. But apart from all of that, I mean, you know, I'm sincere when I say I want to be the best I can be. You know, I want to, you know, sort of, you know, really get deep into, you know, everything that magic has to offer. You know, I did say, you know, why I'm not in love with, when I do magic, I never do it for me. I never want to get any compliments from my audience or anything like that. The only thing I want from my audience is for them to be amazed, for them to feel astonished, to feel like they've been uplifted. And, you know, when I leave a gig and people are sort of, you know, happier when they were before, you know, there's a spring in their step, like feel like they've, and when I leave a gig and I can tell they've sort of gone through something that they couldn't get any other way. You know, that's when I've done my job. And my job is to give that experience to as many people as I can to the best of my ability. So whilst it's a very vague goal, I want to get involved in all that. As I said, I've got a very obsessive personality. Like, you know, I want to be, you know, the best performer I can be. You know, I want to be, you know, sort of the best, you know, sort of entertainer. I want to be the funniest magician I can be. I want to be the most inventive. I want to be the best magician, you know, that could sort of help my friends and direct them and help with their acts or consult and help them individually. I want to just give so much back to this community because it's given so much to me. I mean, I'm only in a position, I will say again about the circle, I'm only in the position I'm in right now because of the Magic Circle, because I got to meet so many fantastic magicians who've given me so much of their advice and so much of their time. I want to give back to them. I want to give back to everyone else, every audience I have, because, you know, every audience you have as a magician, every audience you have as a magician, they are not there because of you. You are there because of them. All you, the only reason we get to go out and do gigs or like show a trip, or even outside of press, being a press producer, the only reason we get to show magic to other people is because they want to, because they said yes. So I feel we owe them, you know, the best we can. We owe them the best experience. And if we can give one human being a sincerely astonishing experience, I mean, that is an amazing thing we can do as, you know, not as producers, just from one human being to another. The ability to give that gift, I mean, I don't think you can put a price on that. And so I think the general aim is to do that. And I don't really know, apart from, you know, just studying magic and putting a lot of effort and doing more gigs, I don't really know any sort of specific things I can do. Yeah, but that is my overarching aim, is to give back to as many people as I can through magical forms. And maybe, you know, that means other things. Like maybe it means I enter more competitions, you know, I do more gigs, or I sort of, you know, maybe I'll try work with the Magic Castle or perform internationally. But that's all I do, and that's all I want to do. And it'll be a very bad day the moment I decide that's not my aim. But that's it. It's very vague. And maybe every magician says it, I don't know. But I just want to say, have it on record. I'm saying that very honestly. That's absolutely how I feel.
That's great. That's fantastic. And one last question that occurred to me while you were saying that. Up until this point, we have talked specifically about stage magic. Close-up magic. Do you have aspirations in the future to perform on stage? Is that something that you would do? Because you've said that you love magic, but I don't think you do much stage magic, unless I'm mistaken at the moment.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't. As I said, like in terms of stage magic, one thing I did mention briefly, I sort of help organize and I perform at the Magic Circle close-up shows, and you have yourself. But that really is parlor, like magic, and that's something I also love as well. Like parlor magic, you know, it's between 20 and 40 of audience members all sat down formally. Stage magic, as I've said, like, you know, I did lots of acting and theatre in university. It is something which has intrigued me. I have read a lot about it. And I have sort of, you know, at time to time, you know, thought about stage magic. In my opinion, I think my skills and my interests are best suited to close up, you know, to getting, you know, magic really, really up close, being there. I think that's the best way I can, you know, deliver my job. But it certainly interests me in the future, because I think a lot of my skills, especially my skills as a performer, but I know from my past, I've been able to perform to, you know, 200 or 300 or more people, absolutely no problem. It's 100% something I consider in the future. And maybe I'm not the kind of person who'd be pushed around other people in boxes or manipulating cards or whatever. But honestly, you know, there are time and time again, I do think about it. How can I even move on to stage? It's such a, I guess it's hard to really make that development into a stage performer, because it really, it's not as common in Britain as it is in Spain or America or, you know, Asia. But absolutely future, because I do think, you know, my skills as a performer, and for stage, you need to be, you know, even better performer than you are a magician. I think maybe that's another way I can evolve. Yeah, that's where my skills can really shine as well. So great. We'll see.
Fantastic. John, you are an absolute inspiration, as well as being an incredibly skillful magician, as well as being incredibly ambitious and engaging and entertaining and all of those fun things. You're also one of the nicest people I've met, and I've watched you at the Magic Circle, and I've seen you help people selflessly, not wanting anything in return, just helping people and asking how you can help. And I see big things in this industry for you. I mean, already you've had huge things happen to you, but I think that the best is yet to come. I think that I was speaking to my friend Lloyd Barnes about this recently, and I said the future of magic is very, very bright with people like you in it. So, as you know, I really do think that the future of magic is in a great place, and I think that you are destined for very big things, and I think that you're going to achieve even more than you possibly can imagine. And it's going to eclipse everything that you've done up until this point. And I think that's because of a combination of hard work, dedication, and just being a nice guy. So, congratulations on all your success. And I promise you the best is yet to come.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. That's incredible words to say. I don't know what to say, but I guess thank you. And obviously, if you made it to the end of this interview, thank you so much for watching, and thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Now, here's what I want everybody to do that's been watching this interview. This has been one of my favorite interviews on the channel. So I want you to do me a favor. I want you to leave a comment down below. Let John see what you thought of the interview. He will read it. And then reach out to John if you want to. I mean, if you are in the Magic Circle, he's there every Monday. But obviously, you can join the Magic Circle from anywhere in the world. You know, they do live streams and Zooms and all sorts of wonderful things. And it's a great way to connect. So there's many ways to get hold of John. But and if you are a member, go back and look at his competition act in the archives, because it is a masterclass on how to just nail a competition act, you know, as you can see. But John, one more time, thank you on behalf of everyone who watched this interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much as well.
No problem. Guys, I'll be back again very, very soon with another video. I'll be back tomorrow with two or three videos, so make sure you watch out for those. I'll be back next Saturday with another Talk Magic. But on behalf of John Duffett, my name is Craig Petty, and we'll see you again right here on Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.